There is a lot of supporting evidence that's out there. There are a lot of books. I suggest you read Whitley Strieber's book, Communion. I suggest you read his book, Transformation. I suggest you read his recent novel, Majesty. And I suggest you understand that the incident in there that he is describing is true, but understand that the formations in the government and the code words he's using are a part of a contingency plan called Majestic, and that he got the information from the research team of Moore, Chandray, and Friedman. Moore has stood up in front of the MUFON symposium in Las Vegas on July the 1st, 1989, and admitted that he was working for the United States government, that he had been recruited, that he was putting out disinformation to researchers to keep them from finding out the truth, that he participated in the TV show UFO Cover-Up Live, and at least 50% of it was disinformation. About 50% of it was true. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anything you see that says Majestic is disinformation and is a lie, the true name is Majority. Majority 12, Operation Majority. There is an agency called the Majority Agency for Joint Intelligence. Let me see if I got any other goodies to show you, and then I'll say a few final words to wrap it up. I think I do have some things that you might like to see. I want to show you how disinformation works. Not too long ago, when I first began talking about what I knew, John Lear asked me to come to his home for an interview with PM Magazine. I thought, wow, this is incredible. These people really want to put it on the air? I can't believe it, because it's never happened in the past. You see, there's always been an intense campaign of denial, ridicule, debunking, and character assassination. So I went there in all good faith, and John Lear and I, knowing what had happened to people in the past, took the producer and the camera crew aside, and we said, listen, this was about 8 o'clock in the morning. We said, listen, we'll do this provided one thing, that you submit to a complete briefing by each one of us on everything that we know and all the documents that we possess and the videotapes and the maps that we will show you and the letters that we have from officials of the government admitting that this is true, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They agreed to that. So we did it. We briefed them for approximately 8 solid hours with no breaks. When we were through, they were convinced, you see, because we presented the information to them without all the other comments like I'm making tonight, and for 8 solid hours of evidence, not talk, evidence, things that you can see and cannot doubt. And then they spent 4 hours filming us, John Lear and I. And we told them literally everything we knew. And this was for a 30-minute program, and she said, boy, this is going to be the greatest show in the history of television. And John said, you'll never get it on the air. And she says, they've never censored anything that I've ever produced, and everything I've produced, they put on the air exactly like I've edited it. And I said, well, I've got to agree with John. I really don't believe it'll air. Well, it aired. And what I'm going to show you is the results of what I have just told you. This is what aired, and I want you to watch it. And then you'll go back to your television set with a different kind of a viewpoint and a different knowledge, I hope.
The aliens are with us. Some of these people, however, are a little difficult to dismiss. discredit him because it's all part of a giant cover-up.
People are being abducted and not returned. People are being used for food. Aliens are eating us. They're experimenting with us. Horrible, unspeakable experimentations.
John Weir's is an unbelievable story. He's certain that we have been invaded by an alien culture, that they are experimenting on us, and that the U.S. government knows about. In fact, it's their most guarded top secret. It all began on a hot July night in 1947, when, according to Weir and others, an alien craft crashed on a remote ranch near Roswell, Mexico. Military men at the site reported a crashed UFO. Then, suddenly the top brass swarmed to the site. Witnesses were sworn to secrecy, and every speck of debris was literally vacuumed from the dusty desert floor. A new story was issued. It, said military officials, was nothing more than a crashed weather balloon.
We know that it was not a weather balloon. The people who gave out that story have since come forth and said it was nothing more than a fabrication to get the press off their backs. The evidence suggests it was a spacecraft, and the evidence suggests the government grabbed it and carted it away and is still involved with the examination of it.
In fact, government documents unearthed via the Freedom of Information Act suggest that both craft and alien bodies had been retrieved. However, references are vague and large portions of the text have been censored. What is known is that in 1947, the United States Air Force began a series of codenamed projects set up to monitor UFOs.
Since 1947, we have collected and have in our possession at least 35 extraterrestrial flying saucers. We have collected and have in our possession at least 100 to 150 alien bodies representing at least three different species. But people are being abducted at an unprecedented rate.
Weir goes so far as to claim that the U.S. government has established communication with this alien power and actually collaborated with them. We have even built underground research facilities in top secret areas to house their little gray scientists. And now, says Weir, they have run amok. They are out of control and they are not benevolent. Our government realizes it made a horrible mistake and can do nothing about it. That it's not the aliens, but John Weir who's run amok, and he's outraged by his stories. Moore himself has spent years carefully and meticulously researching the UFO phenomena, proving he believes that UFOs exist, visit Earth regularly, and our government knows about it, and for unknown reasons is maintaining a massive cover-up. Stories like Weir's, he says, only discredit the truth.
Commander called me up one time and was absolutely certain he was about to be captured and eaten by aliens.
All I can say is my sources go right to the very top, and if it were not true, I would not be risking my credibility and my life to come forward with this information.
There is no doubt that Weir understands the inner workings of the U.S. intelligence community. He's the son of late aerospace pioneer Bill Weir, and for years flew covert missions over Laos for the CIA.
He has done nothing but collect the most outrageous rumor mill stories that are floating around on the grapevine.
Alien invaders, government agents, secret informants, horses for scams. A cover-up like no other? Is this science fiction at its finest or reality beyond our wildest imaginations? Has John Weir stepped off the deep end?
It's not important that you believe this now, but to file it away for future reference in a month, a year, maybe 2 years. You look back on this when the truth finally gets out and you'll say, my gosh, the son of a gun was right.
Suppose anything is possible. John Weir, by the way, is not the only well-connected individual who claims to have had an encounter with a UFO. Michael Shea, a government lawyer, recently told his story of an encounter to the Washington Post. And then there's the Japan Airlines pilot who claims to have seen a UFO over Alaska last year and was able to actually draw a picture of what he saw. Coming up next, basketball buddies, DuPaul.
Now, the reason you only saw John Lear and not me is John Lear got all of his information secondhand from his contacts, where I was a firsthand participatory witness. Therefore, they didn't put me on, but they put John Lear on, and they put him on in a manner, after spending 12 hours with these people, this is what you saw. And this is how they do things. There is a campaign underway now to discredit Whitley Strieber. I can tell you that Whitley Strieber is writing about what really happened to him. I don't know Whitley Strieber. John Lear doesn't know Whitley Strieber. He's not getting this stuff from us, believe me. I have one other thing that I want to show you, which is about an organization called Yellow Fruit. Does anybody know anything about Yellow Fruit? Okay, let me show you this.
For which it had no money, like support for the Contras in Nicaragua. one of the most severe and scandalous projects ever embarked upon the U.S. military was a project called Yellow Fruit. It was a backdoor CIA effort to aid the Contras in Central America and to perform other operations that Congress never would have supported. And the CIA saw Yellow Fruit and the Special Operations Division as a magical fountain of support with unlimited money, unlimited weapons, black money, black-taped transportation capability. Basically, another CIA without any of the reporting or problems that had triggered the problems of the late 1970s. Some of the units actually participated in strafing Nicaraguan targets, bombarding airfields and oil fields in an attempt to disrupt and possibly dislodge the Sandinista regime.
But Tom Golden blew the whistle on Operation Yellowfruit.
Normally, in intelligence operations, you advanced a certain amount of money to operate with. Once you spend that money, then you must submit a voucher to account for it. What I found was very unusual in this unit is people have been advanced as much as $150,000 and had never submitted a voucher for accountability. I eventually went to my superiors and reported what I believed to be abuse of funds and possibly fraud. That eventually was surfaced to the leadership of the Army, who ordered a massive investigation into the special operations community in general.
This is Arlington Hall, Virginia, headquarters for U.S. Army Intelligence. Here, members of the SOD team were court-martialed in a soundproof room. Two SOD members are now serving prison sentences for financial fraud. But what was most important about these trials was not the discovery of another case of misuse of government funds, but the revelation that the SOD's Yellow Fruit served as the blueprint for what William Casey called the Enterprise.
The Special Operations Division and Yellow Fruit had a unique access to equipment, material, offshore bank accounts, a secret clandestine Army/CIA aviation unit, a clandestine ship overseas to provide transportation, access to material and weapons, all the seeds that would later basically erupt in the Iran-Contra affair and be known as the Enterprise. And I believe that Yellow Fruit and the Special Operations Division were both being groomed by the CIA and the National Security Council to serve as the cornerstone of the Enterprise to perform operations in Central America and elsewhere that would never be accounted to Congress.
Lights, please. Now, let me tell you who Yellow Fruit really is. Yellow Fruit, along with Sea Spray, are accountable for security of the alien task projects. They started out as Delta teams attached to the National Recon Organization at Fort Carson, Colorado. Over the years, as their expertise became known and they began to use Delta teams for other things also, they branched off and became independent from the National Recon Organization and from the United States Army. They then evolved into a split organization, one half of which became Sea Spray, the other half became Yellow Fruit. Sea Spray is responsible for the internal perimeter security of the alien projects. Yellow Fruit is responsible for the outer perimeter security of the alien task projects. If you attempt to get near the boundary of Area 51, you will meet Yellow Fruit. They will intimidate you. They will scare you. They will flash guns in your face on public land where you have every right to be, and they, most people, will go away, which is the prudent thing to do. Now, if you get to the boundary of Area 51 and put 1 foot across, you are now the property of Sea Spray. And no one who sees Sea Spray ever sees anyone else. Where do you think they get all this money? From drugs. If you look at all of the things that the secret teams have been doing, look at all of the covert operations that we've been performing, and then look at the budget for these things, and you will see that Congress has not even allotted 10% of the money that would be required to carry out what they have been doing. In the words of John Lear, whom I consider to be one of the greatest patriots in this country, wake up, America. You've been had. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We have information at the back table. We have some tapes. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is our only source of income while we continue our research and do this, is the money that we get from people who come to listen to this information and the money, the sale of materials and tapes. When possible, when we have the extra money, we do make tapes which we give out to people for free with the stipulation that they never charge anyone for tapes and that they make at least five and pass them on to other people. If you purchase a tape from us, we want you to make copies and give them free to other people. If you purchase documents from us, we want you to copy those documents and give them free to other people. But we need your help. If you can afford it, please get the information. There's bibliography is attached to the documents, to the tapes, there's not.